Hello, and welcome to the Spooky Spectacular with Damon and Shelby, a podcast series leading up to Halloween where we explore some of the spooky movies available through Cromaine Library's online resources. How are you?
I'm good. This movie will be very, 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 very interesting to talk about today. I have thoughts, shall we?
I also have some thoughts.
Yes.
Maybe we should just get into our pick. This week was our pick?
It was kind of me pushing you towards agreeing on this pick. So sure, we'll say it was mutual, but I definitely was heavy-handed with, we should do this one.
Yes, we didn't know which one of us should pick the next movie because our order's getting all jingle-jangled, and so we were both kind of looking at films. Damon wanted this one.
I did. So. It's called Let the Right One In. It is from 2008, and it is a Swedish film. I found out later from Eric that apparently there was an American version of this later called, I think, Let Me In. Yeah.
And I believe that Let Me In is on Canopy, just like this film. Don't quote me on it, but I think I've seen it on there. So if you'd like to watch that one, you're welcome to it, and for today, we're gonna stay in Sweden.
It's also based on a book as well.
Perfect. Oh, cool. Okay. So this film is available on Canopy. It is rated R, so be aware. It's got some pretty brief but very intense violence. There's brief nudity. I think that might be it.
So yeah, the R for me was probably mostly the blood.
Yeah, so there's a lot. So be aware of that if that's not your thing. Also, I wanted to point out that this film is the jury award winner for Best Narrative Feature at the Tribeca Film Festival, and also the winner of the Saturn Award for Best International Film. Also, it was nominated for Best Film Not in the English Language at the BAFTA Awards, so it's got a lot going for it. People liked it.
Congratulations, Let the Right One In.
Yes.
So, did you write down a synopsis for this one, Shelby?
Lonely 12-year-old Oscar is regularly bullied by his stronger classmates because he's a skinny little kid. A new friendship develops when Ely, a pale, serious young girl who only comes out at night, moves in next door. Coinciding with her arrival is a series of inexplicable disappearances and murders. As Oscar becomes more aware of Ely's tragic plight, he cannot forsake her. Okay.
We should put a disclaimer with this one, folks. We will be pronouncing these names probably incorrectly because we are not Swedish and do not know Swedish, and there are a lot of names here. So
we're going to do our best.
Yeah, we are going to do our best.
First thing I'll say is that this film made me very excited for winter. Really loved all the long, drawn-out, beautiful, snowy shots.
It's a nice film you can kind of cozy into.
Yes. So, it's very beautiful, and it is kind of a slow plot build, and we jump around quite a bit, so hang in there, gang.
All right, here we go.
We're going to try not to get lost in Sweden here, but we're going to do our best. So, opening shot, snowflakes against the night winter sky as we see our opening credits. Very beautiful. So, we're enjoying that, looking at these credits. And then a child's voice whispers, "Squeal like a pig! Squeal!" And I was immediately not relaxed and enjoying the snow anymore.
Yeah, it's weird. And he's just like this gangly 12-year-old boy with long blonde hair. His skin is so pasty white that, like, he looked like a ghost almost.
Yeah, and we first see him, we get this view from outside this apartment building window, and we look in, and we just see this shirtless kid walk up to the window, and he looks out, and we see his reflection. It's kind of creepy. So, why is he shirtless? We don't know. The kid watches as a car pulls up to the apartment building that he lives in. Looks like maybe some new tenants are moving in. And then suddenly this kid just pulls a knife up into view?
Yeah!
Put a shirt on, for one, and for two, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So he turns his back to us and then says again, "Squeal like a pig," but we don't really see anyone in the room that he might be talking to. He just tucks the knife under his mattress and lays in bed just in his underwear.
Yeah, we find out more about that whole thing in a little bit. and it makes more sense, but it was a weird opening.
Original. Okay. Now we're in a classroom with this kid, but now he has clothes on, so that's
good. Oh, good. He has clothes on in class, Shelby?
The teacher is saying, "The police have ways to determine foul play. Remember that fire recently? A body was found inside? That fire had been set intentionally to conceal that the victim had been murdered beforehand. How can we know this?" Okay, these kids are like 12.
Yeah. Like 6th grade, 7th grade, yeah.
Okay.
So, Oscar raises his hand, and he's like, "I know." And he's like, the teacher's like, "Oh, how do you know this?" He's like, "Oh, I read a lot." And the teacher's kind of like, "Well, what kind of things are you reading if you know this? But sure, how do you know? Or how did the police know?" And he's like, "Oh, well, there wasn't any smoke in the lungs of the person who died, which means he had to have died before the house was set on fire," which makes sense. And then there's like, this bigger kid next to him that just, like, glares at him. It was weird.
Okay, and then the teacher is very cheerful, and she's just like, "Okay, kids, now we're gonna talk about drugs. Cut."
Yep. Yep. Oh, it's great.
What's going on in this movie? Okay, later in the day, we see our kid again. We find out his name is Oscar. And he's pretty badly bullied by the other kids at the school. They're snorting at him. They're calling him a pig. And so this is clearly where he gets his vocabulary at home with his knife.
Yeah, this kid, like, pushes up his nose first to, like, make it look like a pig snout. And then he flicks it.
Yeah.
Such a meanie.
Yeah, a meanie, but nothing too graphic.
No, it's just like a little flick.
Yeah, just kind of pushing this kid around, calling him a piggy and stuff. Super mean.
So then the scene cuts to their new neighbor that had just moved in. It's like this older guy who seems to be putting together this, like, device with random crap. So there's, like, this face mask with some sort of funnel and a canister. They're both separate. There's a face mask and there's also, like, a funnel and a canister.
Yeah.
And this canister is, like, I don't know, like an iced tea jar, and it's, like, really gross and, like... Yeah, I mean, it was not clean.
He's just mixing up a potion. There's this weather advisory on the radio. I think they talk about a snowstorm, because that's the whole movie is a snowstorm. This man, we don't have a name for him at this point. I didn't know who he was. I called him Funky Hat.
Funky Hat.
He's got a big old warm, funky-looking hat on,
It definitely was. I give him some names later, and I guess we'll get there. So, he goes outside... And he's, like, walking along the path, and then there's a person walking by, and so he pulls this person, it's like a young, like, maybe older teenage boy, I would assume, who goes up to him, and he's like, "Hey, do you know the time? I don't have a watch." So the kid goes up to him, and then he just pulls out this face mask that we saw, which is apparently full of anesthesia, and he puts it on the kid's face and strangles him to death, like, he breathes his anesthesia, and he dies. And then it cuts to him, like, hanging this kid upside down, like, from a tree.
By his feet. Yeah. He's hanging there. His arms are hanging down and skimming the snowy ground. Funky Hat is covered in plastic.
Yep. Yep. And then he just slices this kid's neck, and blood starts draining out, which he tries to collect into the funnel going into the canister. What? I mean, it's ridiculous.
One... We are barely past the credits.
Yes!
What is going on here? And I laughed out loud at this part in the film because we're watching him very graphically drain the blood out of this man.
Oh, it's disgusting.
And behind him in the shot, we can fully see cars going by behind some trees. Sir, you are not sneaky.
So he's doing this, and then a dog starts running up and barking at him. And you hear the dog owner taking after him going, "Ricky! Ricky!"
He's just kind of stuck there draining this victim's blood. Mm-hmm. So he can't leave, and the dog is just standing there barking. So Funky Hat knows he's going to get caught if he sticks around, but he needs the dog to be quiet. So he goes to, like, throw a little bit of snow in the dog's face to chase him away. But he just kind of flicks the smallest... pinch of snow, like, "Nah, get out of here." So that clearly doesn't work.
Yeah.
The dog just sits there watching him, And so that's when he just gathers up his gallon of blood and shuffles away through the snow.
No, he doesn't gather the gallon of blood. He gathers his tools. He left the blood there, and he, like, knocked it over.
Oh, no.
And then he was just like, oh, shoot, and just runs off.
Oh.
And then, so then the girls that were out walking the dog, like, come across the body, and they make a disgusted and surprised face at it. I mean, like, obviously. They don't scream or anything, though.
Yeah.
And then the most disgusting thing we see, this dog runs up to the body and starts licking the blood.
Ugh. Off of the snow. That was pretty horrific.
Yep. So then we get another shot of Oscar. And Oscar is back at his apartment. He pulls a dagger out of his pocket again. And he's, like, outside by a tree. And then he's, like, talking to this tree, pretending it's not a tree, but, like, the bully. And he's like, well, what are you staring at? Are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? And he's, like, repeating the words that the bully said to him that morning. And then he starts just stabbing the tree with his knife and says, squeal like a pig, squeal like a pig, squeal!
And then he doesn't quite notice, but there's someone right behind him.
Yep. Yep.
And she's like, what are you doing there, pal?
And then she just, like, weirdly puts in there, oh, by the way, I can't be your friend.
Yeah, they talk for a minute. She goes, I can't be your friend. That's just the way it is. And then he calls after her as she's leaving or whatever. Well, what makes you think I'd want to be your friend? And now we're back with Funky Hat. He's in public transportation with his butchering tools.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It looks like the train stopped. I wasn't sure if he got caught already for a murder or if, like, the train was just stopping.
I guess it was just stopping. I mean, he never got arrested.
I didn't catch it. Yeah, so it seemed that he arrived home. There's someone else there. We don't fully see them, but they're very upset, yelling at him and saying, you're supposed to help me. What am I supposed to do?
I mean, we saw him come in with the girl initially, so we assume it's that same girl from outside, but we can't exactly see her.
Yeah, her face is obscured.
Right.
So she's very upset with him. Okay. And now we're back at the school.
Oh my goodness, Shelby. So they're, like, in class, and they're talking about the kid who was just found dead, like, the hanging body upside down, right? And so the bully who messed with Oscar yesterday, like, treats it like a joke. Like, somebody was just murdered, and he's like, oh, ha 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 ha, can I kill the person who killed that kid? Ha 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 ha. Like, it's so messed up, and, like, the class laughs, and it's just so... Oh.
I don't think that the writers of this film have ever met a 12-year-old in their lives. I don't think that this is how a 12-year-old would react, but hey, what do I know?
So, yep.
Yeah, super weird. And then we get some more scenes of just Oscar living his life. He's in his room. He looks at this collection that he has of newspaper clippings of local murders and things like that.
Okay, this is weird. He's got a binder full of gruesome newspaper clippings.
Just gonna check out my binder of murder. Okay, great. And now we're going to a completely different place that we have not been before called the Sun Palace. I think it's a little bar or a restaurant. There's this group of people here that we haven't met, but they're all sitting around drinking and they're talking about the recent murder. And it looks like the murderer, Funky Hat, is at a table nearby behind them. So one of the men notices Funky Hat, turns to his friend, says, who is that guy? And then he gets an answer from one of his buddies at the table. Oh, he recently moved here with the kid. And so the man says, oh, I could ask him to join us. Mm-hmm. Would be nice. Very sweet. So he goes and approaches Funky Hat, who is aggressively drinking milk. He's like, no thanks, I'm in a hurry, gotta go. So now we're back with Oscar again.
Who's playing with a Rubik's Cube.
In a snowbank.
Yep, just in a, well, it looked like, kind of like a kid's play structure, kind of, sort of. They were like these metal cubes with bars. So he's playing with this Rubik's Cube, and the girl comes up behind him. And so they're talking a little bit, he's kind of showing how the Rubik's Cube works. And then suddenly he's just like, hey, you smell funny. And then he's also like, aren't you cold? Because she's outside and she's wearing, like this little nightdress, I think.
Yeah, she's not wearing much.
Yeah, and it's, like, snowing out and freezing. And so he's like, aren't you cold? She's like, no. But he goes, oh, why not? And her response to this was our first clue that things are kind of, well, not our first clue, but definitely a clue things are weird. Because she's like, oh, I guess I've forgotten how. Forgotten how to get cold. Interesting.
Okay. And then as she says this, Oscar kind of turns away, and it's almost like this moment in the office as he just looks around like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Do you hear this that she's saying? So he leaves, and then we see this girl still sitting there, and she kind of looks like she's suffering a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And now we leave her here, and we see these two men standing on a bridge. Their names are...
Joke and Locky. Or however you pronounce them.
We do our best. So these two men are standing there. So sweet. They're hugging goodbye. They're laughing. They're smiling. One of the men says to the other, thanks for another night of friendship and happiness. Good night, old buddy.
Yeah, they were two of the ones we just saw at that bar as well.
So cute. Yep. I love that. So Joke is walking alone home, and he just hears this meek little voice under the bridge saying, help me, and he sees this girl under the bridge, so he approaches her, and he decides he's gonna help her, so he goes to pick her up and starts to carry her away so that she can find a phone and get some help, and she lunges for his neck. We see that a man standing in a window nearby can see her, fully sucking this dude's blood.
Yes.
And then she kind of, they fall over, and then she turns his head all the way around, breaks his neck, ooh, and then she kind of cries because she's sad. She doesn't like to kill people, I guess.
Yeah, and so, like, I did a little mental thinking here. Like, I mean, okay, why did she kill him? Well, we don't need another vampire around, right? So it makes sense that she killed him at the end, but... Oh, and it was super messy and super gross to watch.
Yeah, real gross. So now we're with the guy who just saw her kill this man. He turns around back into his apartment. We see his apartment, and it is full of a million cats.
Yes, I wrote, shot of dude in house with a bunch of cats who look sad.
So I'm gonna call him Catman, because I didn't catch his name.
It was Locke. Oh, no, this is not Locke.
This is some random other guy.
This was a dude. Other dude. Yeah, this is some random dude that just... Yeah. Oh,
he's
goodness.
He's just one of the friends in the friend group, so to differentiate, his name is now Catman.
Okay.
Catman goes to the Sun Palace to see his friends and to tell them what he just saw, because what is going on? And they all go back to look for their friend, who has just been murdered. And they don't find a body, but they do find some blood in the snow. And then...
Did you notice how fake that snow looked in that shot, though?
Not at all.
Oh, my goodness. It looked like, I don't know, like, instant mashed potatoes. Like, I'm not even joking. The snow in general, like, is beautiful in this. But then when they had to show them, like, scraping it away, looking for blood, this snow in that shot was super fake.
Potato flakes.
Yes. Yep. And you also missed, before that happened, Oscar was at home and listening through his wall, because apparently the wall between his apartment and the next apartment over, the apartment next to him is the one with the girl and weird hat dude. So he's listening through the wall, and the girl and this dude are arguing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Now we see Funky Hat.
Yes.
There's so many times in my notes where I have in parentheses, the girl's caretaker, question mark?
Yeah, I wrote girl's dad / parent figure, question mark.
Question mark, question mm-hmm. mark. It doesn't matter. Funky Hat. We see him in the woods, in the darkness. He's dragging the dead guy
mm-hmm.
through the forest, over the snow, in a sled. He gets downhill to this lake that's frozen over, but, apart from this one spot that's not frozen where he can kind of push the body into the water with this orange pole.
And then he just, like, pokes at it until it sinks.
Yeah, under the ice. And then he leaves with his sled.
Yeah, so you can kind of assume that their argument was about this body. Like, I think they were arguing that, why did you leave this body there? Which, I mean, he did that earlier in the film with the hanging dude. So, just saying.
It was probably the girl saying, hey, my guy, I need you to take this dead body that I left outside and move it, please.
Yep.
So he does, I guess.
So we then see a shot of Oscar at the, I'm just going to call it a playground. It's not really a playground. It's just those metal cubes. And there's a solved Rubik's Cube sitting there, because he sent it with Ely the other day, and so she must have left it there, and then he just smiles. And then he's in school the next day, there's not really a lot that happens, but then he goes back to the playground again the next day, and she's there again, and so he asks her how she solved it. And she's like, oh, I can show you how, you gotta do the corners first. And then she's like, oh, do I smell better now?
Okay.
Which, he just doesn't respond, and he's just like, what's your name? And she's like, Ely. Oh, we finally get her name at that point. And she's like, well, what's yours? And so he says, it's Oscar. He asks how old she is, and she responds 12 more or less. And he says he is 12 years, 8 months, and 9 days. And so he asks when her birthday is, she doesn't remember, and they're talking about how weird that is that she doesn't remember it and how sad it is that she doesn't celebrate her birthday. And Oscar's sad because then she doesn't get presents. So he tries to offer her the Rubik's Cube, the only thing he has with him.
So sweet.
It's so sweet. So
they are such cute babies.
They really are. It's weird. We'll get to that. But anyway, she refuses to take it. But then, oh, this is where she teaches him how to solve it. It's after she refuses to take it.
Perfect.
So then we're back in school, and the teacher is reading The Hobbit to the class. And apparently he reminds them there's a field trip coming up on Thursday. Oscar has the biggest book ever on his desk, and he zooms in on it, and it's an encyclopedia open to a page on the Morse code. And he's copying down the letters from the Morse code.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he takes this book, which probably weighs more than he does, and he leaves the school building. It's dark, it's snowy, like always. And the bully, we find his name is Connie. So Connie and his cronies, are what I call them, are outside waiting for Oscar. And they say, hey, what are you writing down there? What's that note in your hand? Let's see it then. And then the other cronies are surrounding Oscar, and he's like, no, dude, I'm not giving it to you. And so Connie sicks his friends on Oscar, and they very awkwardly and gently put him in this kind of chokehold and hold him back. It was just funny. They're very gentle.
Yeah, so one of the lackeys, there's two lackeys. One of them holds him. The other one is, like, slapping him in the crotch with a stick.
Oh, I thought it was just his below his knees, his calves.
Oh, no, it was higher than that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it looked very painful.
I didn't catch that.
So the one that's doing the hitting with the stick, we see a shot of his face, and he looks really torn about this. Like, he doesn't actually want to be there.
No, he is fully uncomfortable. He starts to cry after a minute.
Yeah. And so then Connie,
he has the two kids switch. These kids trade places, and then this other kid whips Oscar in the face, so he gets this big cut on his face.
Yeah.
And then this might be lost in translation or something. I wasn't sure what's going on here. But so they're done whipping him, I guess. And then Connie just goes, who's going to tell your mommy now? And then these three kids just kind of awkwardly run away. And
yeah.
Oscar's just standing there like, okay, I guess I'll go home now. So very sad, but the way it comes across was very awkward.
Yeah, so he gets home and his mom's like, what happened to you? And he's like, oh, I fell down at recess. He doesn't tell the truth about it.
Poor baby.
So then we see Oscar with Ely, and he's teaching her about Morse code and how to do it. He's like, long, short, long, and like showing her how to do it. And then he gives her the code.
The way that you just said that is exactly how every character in this film talks.
It's true. It's true.
Very low, slow, almost mumbly tones. So, good for you. Yep. I like that.
So then she asks about his face, and he tells her the truth. He's like, oh, some classmates did it to me. And she's like, oh, you've got to hit back. And then he just kind of pauses, and she looks at him, and she's like, oh, you've never hit back, have you? So she offers to help him, and then touches his hand. And then we get a shot of the window, and Hat Dude is looking on and is, like, glaring at them when she touches his hand.
Yeah, he doesn't
which, care. Which, this is another thing we'll talk about at the very end, but remember the scene, because this will come back to our prediction thing at the end.
Yes, put a pin in Funky Hat giving Oscar stink eye through the window, I guess.
Yep. So then we see them doing Morse code through the wall. of the bedroom, and it's cute. And then we're in gym class.
Yes.
And my first comment for gym class was, gym class, and then in all caps, what are these shorts? Because, like, okay, some of these shorts, like, on most of the boys, the shorts are, like, super small, right? But then occasionally there's one that, like, comes below the knees. They're, like, there's, like, a 12-inch difference between the longer shorts and the shorter shorts. It is bizarre.
There's no restriction on these uniforms. You just go for it. My first note was, the boys look somewhat normal with their little shorts and tucked-in shirts, but the girls are fully wearing patterned leotards with brightly colored leggings underneath.
Yeah, it's so weird.
This movie does take place in the 80s, so this is where we get some of that.
Oh, I didn't catch that. That makes sense.
I read it somewhere, I'm pretty sure. I don't think they say it. But, you know, that helps a little, but it was still just, wow, got some looks here that we're serving up. So Oscar decides he's going to sign up for a fitness class. He pokes his head in the teacher's office and says, hey, I want to do this class. The teacher says, so cute, you'll be 50 times stronger. So cute. And then we get this little smile from Oscar. It's like the first smile we see on this kid's face almost in the whole movie. So
we saw one when she left the Rubik's Cube there.
Yes. Too. So he just gets another cute little smile. They're hard to come by.
Okay. Did you write down what happens in the next scene? Because the only thing I wrote down was angry cat.
I didn't write that down at all. So.
Okay. Well, there was an angry cat, apparently.
Great. Okay. Next scene. Oscar buys, it looks like, candy? I'm not sure what it is.
Some
kind of sweet, I guess. Some kind of treat from the shop. He's hanging out with Ely. He turns to her and says, hey, get a load of this. And she says, no, I don't want to eat that. And so she feels kind of bad after she says it. So she tries one. Cut to her puking off the side of a building.
Yeah, then I wrote down the question, can she literally only eat blood?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Poor thing. Poor baby. And so Oscar comes up as she's just hacking it up. And he says, hey, are you all right? And then he hugs her. It's so cute.
It is so cute. And so she's like, Oscar, do you like me? And he goes, yeah, a lot.
It's so cute.
And then she's like, if I wasn't a girl, would you like me? And he's like, yeah, I suppose so. Why are you asking? And so, like, she's clearly meaning it, like, not, like, human. Not, like, if I were a boy. Right. But.
So, I'm gonna, I have some fun facts at the end, so also put a pin in this, because what I wrote in my notes was, yeah, if I wasn't a girl, as in, I'm not a girl, I'm a vampire.
Yeah.
But we'll put a pin in the fact that she says that, and so he's like, yeah, I suppose so, I'd still like you. Great. That's all that I had for that before Oscar goes and sees his dad for the weekend or whatever.
Which is adorable. So he's visiting his dad in the countryside, and the first shot we get is he's riding on a sled being pulled by his dad's snowmobile, and it looks really fun.
It's great. They have a great time together. The dad is wearing a flower print sweater. It's fantastic. I love everything about it. And meanwhile, Ely's, this is another part in the notes where I put, dad? Caregiver? Mm-hmm. Ely's person, Funky Hat, tells her, there are people who know my face, who know that I live with you. Ely replies, maybe you shouldn't. And then Funky Hat says, well, what else am I good for? And then he says, hey, I don't want you to see your little friend Oscar tonight. So he's obviously not liking him.
Yep.
I guess it doesn't matter because Oscar's out of town anyway, so whatever. And then we see a shot of Funky Hat very creepily standing there.
Okay. He is watching the middle school boys' basketball team through a window.
Sir, you cannot be here.
This is super awkward and super gross.
So illegal.
You can't just be here.
So he's just watching them. I put in my notes that they look like high school boys, because in this next scene we see them, like, smoking cigarettes and making very nasty jokes.
Fair enough. Fair enough. They were probably high schoolers. It was not the middle schoolers we have met before.
No. So they're these older kids. They're hanging out around the school a few hours later. It's evening time. So it looks like Funky Hat has gotten one of these kids hung upside down in the school.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know what he was thinking. In the school, Hanging upside down, he's drugged, but he's not dead, and he's about to drain this kid's blood when suddenly the lights go out in the building.
Yeah.
And then this kid's two friends are still standing outside the door smoking cigarettes, so they decide to go and look for their friend.
Yeah, they're like, oh, where's Mate? Where is he?
Great. So they're banging on the door of where Funky Hat is with this kid.
Which is like the locker room.
Yes. The kid is still alive, and so we see him move a little bit, and it's awful because he's confused and hung upside down.
Yes.
And so he starts screaming for help. Funky Hat knows that he's doomed, because how can he get out of this situation? Mm-hmm. There's somebody else, I think maybe some parents or a teacher, knocking on the other door.
Yeah.
So Funky Hat's just like, well, this is over for me. He, it looks like, I think, the kid hanging upside down spilled this vial that was near him, and it spills a little bit on a jacket, and you see that it's acid, because it burns
through the jacket. Yeah, it burns through the jacket. So he brings the jar of acid into you, like, a shower stall, essentially.
A hidden corner.
So he's hiding, and then the kids finally break in the door, and they're able to help their friend. Meanwhile, he, Funky Hat, just, like, says Ely's name, and then he takes the acid, and he just pours it on his head.
Oh, all over his face.
Yes.
And it's very quick, and then quick shot away, now we're with Oscar again.
And Oscar is doing weight training with the most adorable, tiniest barbell that I have ever seen.
He's like, trying so hard.
Oh, it's so cute. And he's clearly working hard at it. It's very sweet.
Oh, yes.
And then he goes into the bathroom afterwards, and then he sees Ely's dad's sweater that he was wearing the other night, the one that had the acid burn in it, stuffed inside a urinal, which is gross.
So, let me stop you right there.
Okay, okay.
The clothing that was stuffed into a urinal were Oscar's pants.
Oh!
Yeah, he goes in there, he's got his little workout shorts on, you know, he goes into the bathroom, and he's like, oh, crap, my pants. So then we get this really sad shot of him walking home in his tiny little shorts with those high boots and his winter coat.
Okay, that makes so much more sense. I was thinking it was the sweater from the night before, and that he had just forgotten it there, and it somehow ended up in the urinal, and that makes way more sense.
So
because I literally wrote down, Shelby, he walks home in his tiny shorts. Why? Guess I needed to pay more attention.
The tiny shorts! Oh, so this poor kid, it's not at all funny, and we're back with Ely now. There's a radio voiceover saying that a man has been arrested for murder and had self-inflicted facial wounds that made it impossible to identify him. So she's like, oh, that's my dad? Caregiver?
Yeah.
That's my Funky Hat.
And he had just been talking the night before about people know what he looks like, so it makes sense that he disfigured himself.
Exactly. So she goes to the hospital, crawls up the side of the building, finds Funky Hat in his bed.
Okay, and she opens the, or no, she goes to the window and she knocks on it, and she's like, you have to let me in. You have to let me in. You have to tell me I can come in. And he gets up and he's like breathing like Darth Vader.
He is struggling.
Yes.
And he's got this crank tube in, so all of his breaths are like,
Yeah. So we finally see his like super disfigured face as well.
Ugh.
And yeah, like you said, he has a, what did you call it?
A crank tube, I think.
Right, so there's like a stoma in his throat with that in it. And
so he can't breathe.
Yep.
Half of his face is just burned to the bone. His mouth, you can see into his mouth,
yep.
His cheek. It's horrible.
So he lets her in, and he hugs her and like kind of opens up his neck to her. So she just, you know, crawls right in and drinks his blood and then sends his body tumbling out the window.
And bang, that thing hits the dumpster on its way down, which
yep.
is horrible. And then when we see him close up, like in the parking lot, you can see that he's still breathing there on the ground as Ely watches from above.
Mm.
Horrible.
Yeah. So this was the moment that I also realized that, oh yeah, isn't there like vampire lore about you need permission to come into a room?
Yes.
I had forgotten about that. So that is clearly in play.
So now we get this really quick scene of Locke with his wife Genia in bed, and he kind of wakes her up, and he's just harping on. He's really upset about his friend Joke being mm-hmm. killed. So he's just asking her about that. Why would anyone want to kill him? He was the sweetest man there ever was. Again, so sweet. And he's pretty distraught about his friend dying. And Genia's like, I don't know, dude. I'm trying to sleep. Good night. So that's kind of the scene.
Yep. And so then we get Evie visiting Oscar in the middle of the night. And so she's outside his window and asks permission to come in. And so he gives her permission. And so then she's like, don't look at me. And then she crawls in bed with him. And he realizes that, like, wait, are you, like, wearing anything right now? You're freezing. I just feel skin. This is weird. But he doesn't look. He respects her, her thing not to look.
Oscar says, what do you think of going steady with right. me? Which is so 80s. Love it.
I love it.
And she says, Oscar, I'm not a girl. And he's like, oh, well, you want to go steady or what?
Okay. Amazing. I love this kid. This kid is like, yeah, reading this scene through a queer lens, it is so beautiful. Well, he's just like, I don't care. Like, I like you. That's what matters.
Absolutely. 10 million points to Oscar. Yes. He's like, well, you want to go steady or not? And she's like, well, I mean, I like things the way they are, so as long as things kind of stay the way that they are, we can go steady. And then she says, we'll never be alone. So that's a pretty serious thing to say. And then the next morning...
Oh, she holds his hand, though, too.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, like when they go to bed. It's very sweet.
And then Oscar the next morning is alone, and he's looking out his window like, huh?
Yeah.
Here.
Like, did that even happen?
How did she get out? He's looking out his window like, did she escape the window? What's happening?
Well, didn't he ask her, how'd you get up here? And she was like, oh, I flew.
Yeah. And yeah. He says, yeah, right. But then the next morning, he's like, oh, maybe. And then he finds this note that says, I must be gone and live or stay and die. You're Ely. So
there's a heart, too, and it's very sweet.
Yes, it's very cute. And now...
The music there, sorry. I have to interrupt because during this scene, the music was absolutely gorgeous. Like, yeah. It was so beautiful that it really caught me. Okay, sorry, continue.
That is so much of the movie. It's beautiful yeah. music, beautiful long shots of a Swedish winter. Gorgeous.
Yep.
Okay, now the class is on an ice skating field trip, and they're at the lake where the body was dumped earlier. Walking around at the water's edge, he finds this orange pole. You know, like the one that Funky Hat used to push Joke under the ice. Okay.
Oh, I didn't even connect that that's what that pole was. Oh, that makes so much sense.
So creepy. So then Connie and his cronies come over and they're like, hey, Oscar, you want to go swimming? And Oscar's like, no, it's cold.
Yeah, and also the lackey that we saw before that seemed... who cried before, seems even less convinced this time that he wants to be a part of it, because he, like, hesitates.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Connie's looking at Oscar, and he's like, what's with the pole, the orange pole in your hand? And Oscar's like, to hit you with if you try anything. And then Connie goes, look, little pig, I'm gonna push you, and you're not gonna do a thing about it. And so meanwhile, as the scene is unfolding, there are these two little girls who have wandered off and seem like they might stumble upon the body, which is now floating in the lake. They're looking at something. We can't tell what it is yet, though.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Connie goes forward, and Oscar whaps him in the face with that pole.
Oh, he gets him good.
Oh, my gosh!
And it pulls away, and Connie's ear is bleeding profusely.
Oh, it is nasty.
And then we get this shot of Oscar, and he just looks so smug right there. So satisfied.
As there's just Connie screaming bloody murder.
Yes.
As all this is happening, we see that the two little girls have now found the body and they're showing it to a teacher. So chaos. Just chaos.
Yep. So then we get a scene of the police cutting under the ice to find the dead body and pull it out. Oscar gets home and... his mom is furious because school called about him hitting Connie. And so she hands him the phone. I thought she was handing him the phone to talk to school, but apparently it's to talk to his father, who's on the other line, who is supposed to be chewing him out, but he just, like, doesn't. He's just kind of like, oh, yeah, you did a good job. Like,
he's like, hey, Oscar, are you coming to visit sometime soon?
Yep. Yep.
So, okay, great. And then, let's see, Oscar is swimming in the school pool, I guess. He sees Ely standing there.
He's terrible at swimming, by the way. It's, like, really sad to watch. He just keeps, like, going under accidentally over and over. He's trying to tread water, but he can't even handle that.
I noticed that, too. He looks like a dog that doesn't know how to swim. Yes. I don't mean to compare a person to a dog, but you know how when a dog is, like, doggy paddling and their nose and mouth just kind of keep popping under the water?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know that they're struggling. That's what this poor kid was doing. It looks like he was doing it on purpose. He kept going under so often.
Yeah.
Poor kid. So yeah. Anyway, this poor skinny little beanpole is having a hard time. He sees Ely, so he kind of meets up with her in this deserted room of a school.
Oh, wait, no, before that, though, when he's in the pool, lackey number two, the tall one, not the one that is, like, torn about this, he comes up to him in the pool, and he's like, ha ha ha, looks like you went swimming after all, just kidding. He's, like, trying to be all friendly with him,
yeah.
And Oscar is kind of like, what is happening right now?
Stop,
like,
talking.
Why is he
to me.
Being nice to me? This is weird. Like, not even being nice to him, but he's not being mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That was weird.
But yeah, sorry. Then he's with Ely and they're in this, like, dark corridor.
Yeah, so they're hanging out. Oscar is just kind of sitting there. And then he pulls out his big old knife and just slits into his hand. And, so this is a thing that people used to do.
Yeah, like, blood oath.
I cut my hand, you cut your hand, we touch hands, it's beautiful, we have the same blood now. So he cuts his hand, and she sees this, and she's like, no, 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 no. She's backing away, she's watching the blood drip from his hand, and it is really dripping.
Yeah, he didn't just do like a little cut, he like went all the way across his palm.
He went, woo, that thing was deep. So he's like, hey, let's shake hands, and we'll have the same blood, and
yeah,
whatever.
You only need to prick your finger, that's all.
Perfect. And so she's like, absolutely not, I want you to leave. She dives to the floor and starts lapping up some of the blood that had fallen there, and then just runs away.
Yeah, and she like yells at him, you've got to get out of here, you've got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Then we're at the bar again, and the friends of Joke are kind of reminiscing about him. And the friend Lake, who we saw before, the one that hugged him goodbye the night he died, it's really, like, seeming extra, extra sad about it, which we kind of already saw.
Yeah.
And he gets into a fight with his girlfriend, Genia, and he's just like, you don't get it! And then he, like, runs out. Oh, no, she runs out, sorry.
She leaves in a huff, and he follows her outside, calling after her.
Yep.
So she turns and walks up these steps to go away from him, and he goes to follow, and then we see Ely just pounce on Genia from above and take her down and just start gnawing on her neck. So Lake runs up and kicks Ely off.
Who then just runs for it.
She looks up, and the amount of blood and guts that comes off of her face, so gross.
She's a very messy eater.
Yes, and she looks she looks kind of stunned, and then she just runs away. And so it seems that Genia is maybe going to survive. She didn't die.
Yep, and so we see Genia waking up in the middle of the night because there's weird vibration noising going on, and she feels hot. And then she opens the window, and it's super bright outside, which hurts her.
Yeah.
So, uh-oh.
So then we see her standing in front of this mirror with a bandage on her neck. And she, like, peels the bandage off. And she's fully like, that kid bit me with canines. These are bite marks in my throat. And so she just kind of, like, stands there in shock. She's holding this bloody bandage in her hand, and she kind of, like, sniffs the blood on the bandage. Oh, so gross. And so now we're back with Oscar, who's visiting his dad.
Yeah, they're like playing a game together, a board game.
Listening to music, eating snacks. It's adorable.
And the dude just like stops by.
Random guy.
It's like a friend of his dad's.
Yup, says, hey, what's going on? And Oscar's face is like, oh boy.
Yep, and so his dad brings the new dude some vodka, and they're drinking, they're smoking. And Oscar's just kind of sitting there being left ignored.
Yeah.
I'm like, poor kid. And then to, like, help pass the time, and because he's feeling sad, he looks at the note from Ely again. Like, oh.
Yeah, I think this whole scene of his dad hanging out with him and having a great time, and then this random guy coming in, and they're drinking and smoking, and the whole thing gets very depressing.
Yes.
I think that kind of reminds Oscar of how very little he's able to fit in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad. And then after he reads that note from Ely, we see him just hitching a ride out of his dad's place.
Yep.
So he's out of there. And now we're back with Genia.
Yep, so she's visiting the homebody friend with all the cats.
Catman.
Well, like, everybody else is there, too. But, and they, like, she gets to there, and she opens the door, and they invite her in without a second thought. So, we don't even have to see the struggle of her getting into the room.
Yeah.
But the cats are pissed. They just start, like, attacking her. And so the others are asking her, like, what is wrong with you? Why do these cats hate you right now? So she freaks out. She runs out the door and then just falls down the stairs.
Cats all over her.
Yes.
All, like, 50 cats from this apartment are on her body as she's rolling down these stairs. It's horrible, but I have to say the CGI on those cats was rough.
Yes, it was. So she's admitted to the hospital. And also, I just realized something. When I wrote down earlier, angry cat, that was right before the Oscar bringing food to Ely scene. I think they walked past a cat who, like, hissed at Ely.
Oh, that's right. The angry cat was in the shop window.
Yep. So we saw before that cats apparently hate vampires.
All right.
Yeah. So she's in the hospital, but then we hear, we cut to Oscar tapping Morse code through the door to Ely's apartment. And so she opens the door for him. And it's like there's, like, a door and then a hallway and then another door to the actual apartment. It was kind of I couldn't understand the setup quite. It was weird.
Yeah. So he walks into her place. He's like, ew, gross. It smells in here. Are you a vampire? So chill. He's so chill. Hey, are you a vampire?
And they're talking through this, like, windowed door for this conversation.
Okay, yeah. And yes. She just says, I live off of blood.
So. And then he goes, are you dead?
No.
No? Can't you tell? And then they, like, really sweetly touch their hands through the glass. And then he asks her again, how old are you?
And she says, I'm 12, but I've been 12 for a long time. And
then she left him in the house for real, though.
Yes, and he walks in and looks into her room and just goes, are you, like, poor?
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, no, I've got lots of money. And then she shows him this, like, giant collection of rings she has in this, like, cool container.
Yeah.
But then he's like, well, I've got to get going.
Yeah, I've gotta... he's like, this is weird. What's going on here? I got to go. I have to work tomorrow delivering papers. And she's like, you don't have to work if you don't want to. Here, take some money. I got lots of it. She hands him a big wad of cash. And he's like, you stole this. This is weird. I'm going home. Bye. And yep. So he leaves.
And the implication, obviously, was the rings were stolen off the people that died as well.
Yes.
So then Locke is visiting Genia in the hospital.
He's harping on about whatever.
Yep.
And she's just sitting there suffering. And she's like, listen.
Yeah.
You've got to help me. That girl must have infected me with something. I don't want to live.
Yeah.
Wow. So a little while later, the doctor comes in to discharge Genia. He's saying, you look
Lucky's great. Gone by this point.
Yes. He's in the other room. So yep. He's right outside. Doctor comes in, says, you're looking great. You can go home if you want to. And he's undoing some of her restraints.
Yeah, we didn't mention that before, but both her legs and both her arms were restrained.
She'd been restrained. So she says, hey, my guy, could you go open the blinds for me? Get some of that sunshine in here. So he's like, for sure, yeah. So he stops unrestraining her. He goes to the window, opens up the blinds for her, and the light, the sunlight is so bright, and it's all right on her, full blast. She bursts into flame.
Yep.
Bye, girl. Woo! That was intense.
I mean, she knew.
Yeah.
So then we get Ely visiting Oscar, who refuses to invite her in this time. And he's like, well, just come in anyway. I don't need to invite you in. Why do I need to invite you in? So she walks in, and she looks a little concerned, but she's like, fine, I will. And then she just starts, like, bleeding from all of her pores. It is so disgusting.
Oh, she's, like, trembling a little. She
yeah.
starts breathing heavily. And then blood starts coming out of her ears.
And, like,
her
everywhere.
Her scalp, her eyes. It was so
And then finally
awful.
He's like, oh, sorry. Yes, you can come in.
Oh, and she kind of stops imploding. But she's still covered in blood from
yep.
her eyes and her nose and her ears. Oh, it's awful. I don't like that. So he says to her, who are you? And then suddenly, it seemed like she had Connie's voice, had, like, adopted his voice, and was saying the words, squeal like a pig.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then she goes back to normal and says, that's the first thing I ever heard you say, as if to imply, who are you?
Yeah.
Does that sound kind of right?
I think she was just imitating what he sounded like, and he was reminding she was reminding him, like, hey, you're being tortured by these kids.
Yeah.
And I know that about you.
And also, you said some real messed up stuff the first time I met you. Like, who are you?
Yep. And so he's just like, well, I don't kill people. And so she's like, well, no, but if you'd like it, if you could, she said, no, you would like it if you could to get revenge, right?
And he says, yes.
Yeah, what?
I mean, and then she kind of moves closer to him and says, hey, be me for a while.
Yeah, she's like, Oscar, I kill because I have to. Be me for a while. And then, so with her, like, bloody face and her bloody lips, like, they, like, embrace. And I don't think they kissed here. It was unclear.
It's later.
They just, like, embrace. And then they pull away from the hug. And she's like, Oscar, please, be me.
And, okay, and then that's where the scene cuts. And then we see Oscar just vibing out in the kitchen with some cool jams. That was a cool song. I don't know if you know it. I really liked it.
Yeah, it was fun. So she, like, gets out of the shower wearing a towel, and then Oscar's like, oh, you can borrow one of my mom's dresses. So they're back in Oscar's apartment at this point.
So he kind of, you know, pushes her into this bedroom. He's like, here, put this on. And then he kind of accidentally gets a little glimpse of her.
Not accidentally.
And whoopsie, his eyes widen. He's like, whoa!
Yes.
So that's kind of the end of that. And then I think I skipped a little bit here because this movie is so long.
Okay, so the mom comes home at that point. And so he tries to rush Ely out, who just kind of, like, hops from Oscar's window to her window outside the apartment. And, like, just like, yeah, it's cool.
Okay, and then later he sees a note from her that says, I'm in the bathroom. Please don't come in. Do you want to see me tonight? I like you very much. From your Ely. So,
yeah, and we do notice that in the middle of the night, he kind of sneaks out of his apartment to go into Ely's apartment. And so when he finds that note, he wakes up on the floor in Ely's apartment.
Yeah.
He, like, slept over there.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And then we see Locke going into Ely's apartment.
Uh-huh.
I guess suspecting that this is where she lives. So he's looking for her because his wife, his lady, just died. And so did his friend. So he's all torn apart. So he goes into this apartment. He sees that the windows are all covered up to keep the sunlight out. Mm-hmm. As he leaves the kitchen, we see that Oscar is there hiding underneath the sink. So he's just chilling there. And then Locke goes to the bathroom and sees that the bathtub has kind of been made into a little, an adorable little coffin bed.
Yeah.
With blankets in it and then, like, a sheet cover over the top of the tub.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then he pulls back a blanket, he pulls back another blanket, and oh, Ely is there. So he gets this knife, he's holding it to her throat. He's about to stab her, and then Oscar is behind him with his own knife.
Yeah, so then he's not Oscar. Locke is like, oh, I can't see well enough. So he pulls on the window covering to get some more light in there. And then that's where Oscar screams, no! Which then causes Ely to wake up, and she quickly disposes of Locke.
Yeah.
Which Oscar just kind of, like, walks out respectfully and doesn't watch her do it.
And he's terrified.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Eyes humongous. So Ely is covered in blood. She comes up behind him and hugs him, and she's like, listen, I have to go away. And then she turns to him with her blood and guts covered face.
Ugh.
She kisses him with her bloody mouth, and the sound design as they're kissing, their faces are not moving whatsoever, mm-hmm, but the sound design is so squishy.
Yeah.
And gross.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this very sad music as Oscar just gets yelled at, just ripped to shreds by his mom.
Because he disappeared in the middle of the night, and then he wasn't there in the morning. And, yeah, so he just, like, ignores her, walks to his room, and just, like, locks himself in there.
He's looking at his newspaper clippings again. He's looking out the window. He's sad.
He's putting his hand on the window like they were touching their hands through the glass, and it's really sad.
Okay. I have a problem.
Yes.
Because the next scene, we start this scene with his face very close up. He's clearly been crying. There's a booger dripping into his mouth.
Oh, he's disgusting.
I hate it.
It happens multiple times.
Wipe your face.
Yes.
I can't do it. I hate it. So we're looking at his close-up booger shot. Okay. And then he gets a call from Martin at school. So
this
Martin
is the lackey of the bully that was nice to him in the pool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this kid's saying, hey, are you coming to the pool tonight? What's going on? And so Oscar's saying, I'm not sure. Yeah, okay, I guess. The camera cuts to this guy, Martin, in this phone booth, and we can see that Connie and his cronies are there.
Yep.
So they're clearly plotting something. So Oscar goes to the pool. There's the shot real quick in the darkness outside the pool building of just gasoline being poured on some stuff.
Which I wondered, was that maybe Oscar's clothes? Did they steal his clothes and burn them?
I wasn't sure what it was either.
I don't think we ever got an answer.
No, we just see that, okay, we're trying to start a fire. Great.
Yep.
Oscar is so cute, working out in this pool. He's doing this little, like...
jazzercise?
Oh my god! Adorable! He's
yes.
smiling,
yep.
and the coach that's kind of doing the dance outside the pool, mm-hmm, they're smiling mm-hmm. together. So sweet! It is worth watching this movie just for that. It's so cute. And now there's fully a fire outside, so the teacher's like, oh my god, you random kid, you do the dances now for Oscar. So
and this
leaves.
Is Martin, again.
Okay, great. That's who Martin was. Perfect. So now, back with Oscar in the pool, Connie and his cronies, including his older brother Jimmy,
yes.
stroll into the pool and kick everybody out, and Oscar is still in the pool. So this older brother, Jimmy, gets a big old knife.
Yep.
And he says, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Oscar says, yes. And so Jimmy says, good, so you get it, which means you messed up my brother's ear, so I'm going to get revenge on you. He says, we're going to have a little contest. You stay underwater for 3 minutes. If you do it, I'll just nick you. But if you can't do it, I'll poke one of your eyes out. Horrifying.
Yes, an eye for an ear, you understand? So he grabs him by the hair, and it's like... counts down from five.
Before he counts down, I just have to say, because poor baby Oscar is like, he says, hold your breath for 3 minutes, and Oscar just says, but that's impossible. And then Jimmy says, that's your problem.
Yeah.
And then, before they start going underwater, Jimmy just sort of beckons Oscar over with his hand, and Oscar goes.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, and, like, the other bullies are also starting to look nervous there. Even Connie
oh,
is
yes.
starting to look nervous there. Which
They're
is...
all real scared.
Yep. So yeah, he shoves them underwater.
Jimmy says, better take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And then he, which is kind of funny, he lets Oscar take a deep breath, which is very kind, I guess.
I guess.
He has to murder someone. And then pushes his head under and holds it.
And so, like, 30 seconds pass of the bullies looking nervous. The lackey who was nervous before looks very concerned.
Oh,
he's like, sitting on the bench on the side with his head in his hands, and he's, like, really messed up. And then Connie starts trying to get his brother to stop. And then we get this weird shot of water just being pushed back and then a head falling into the water as well as an arm.
Can I describe this in full detail?
Go for it.
I loved it so much. I thought it was perfectly done. So these kids are all sitting around watching Oscar drown and they're all looking at each other like, this is messed up. And so now we're underwater with Oscar and we're just watching him slowly drown. And then we hear this kind of loud boom from above the water, but it's very muffled mm-hmm, because we're mm-hmm. under the water. Then there's some kind of low wailing sound, which is maybe a scream. We're not really sure. And then we see an arm kind of flash underwater near Oscar's head. And then we see a pair of legs drop into the water and just get dragged from the front to the back of the pool like Jaws, but reversed.
Yes.
Then we see a head fall into the pool and slowly go down. And then the hand holding Oscar's hair goes limp and falls. And then we see that the hand is detached from the body at the elbow. So just this bloody stump falls.
Yep.
Then a pale, smaller hand reaches into the water for Oscar's arm and pulls him from the water as the water begins to turn red with blood. I loved it.
Oh, dear.
Thought it was so well done that you don't quite know what's going on. At
yeah.
first, you just hear this big boom, like... sounds like a kid is, like, jumping off the diving board or something.
Yep, yep.
You don't know that something's wrong. And so, finally, we get above the water here. Oscar opens his eyes. He sees Ely's eyes, which, beautiful shot. Blood all over her face. Really close-up shot. It was very pretty. They kind of smile at each other, and then less pretty, the camera pans out, and we see all the distorted, bloody bodies of Jimmy and Connie. And then the other kid, who's just traumatized, is still where he was, crying in the corner. That's that scene.
And then we finally get the last scene of the movie, which is Oscar on a train, and he's got a big box next to him, like this wooden crate, and he's tapping Morse code on it, so to show that Ely is apparently inside, and they are running away together. End of the movie.
Yes, cut to black. End of the film.
Okay, Shelby. So I think before we talk about anything, we need to talk about this father slash papa slash guardian slash question mark to Ely.
Before we talk about anything, I just want to say super fast, this is no big deal. I just read it while I was researching the movie a little bit to make it, doesn't really make anything make more sense, but it's fun. Fun fact is that at the end here, we're tapping out Morse code on this box. Mm. It's revealed later that we hear a tap from Ely, and the tap is saying kiss, and then Oscar replies, little kiss, and then the screen cuts to black and the end of the film.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's cute. Okay, let's talk about Funky Hat.
Okay, so I did not realize this while watching, but something Eric said to the two of us before we started recording today, because he had seen the American version, made things more clear in this movie. So, the entire movie, I thought this was just, like, some dude that she had just decided was going to take care of her, and she kind of, like, bullied him into it, and he was just there for her.
Okay, my take was, I mean, I don't know what my take was, because I kept writing, dad? Father figure?
I thought it's possible he was her actual father, because he was older, but, like, she would have stayed 12, so that would make sense, too.
Sure, I guess I wasn't thinking about the age thing, but I did start to doubt the further we got into the movie that he was her actual dad, but didn't really know what he was doing there.
So we had some signs throughout the movie of who he might actually be. That was, one, him being really weird about her relationship with Oscar, and, like, glaring out the window of them, telling her she shouldn't spend any time with him. Then we also have, like, the fact that they're moving around everywhere together. So he just seemed a bit possessive of her and very willing to do anything for her, including kill for her, which was, like, that was weird.
Yeah.
So I suspect, and the American film kind of apparently bangs this over your head, that he was, like, her first or previous lover that she met when he was 12, but he just kept growing up, and she just kept staying 12, and he stayed with her all this time. That also explains how willing he was to just die for her at the end.
Yes.
Because he's just like, well, this will be my final act of taking care of you.
Ugh.
It explains their weird question mark relationship. But, yeah. Yeah. What do you think?
So there's that. I think that there's definitely a language barrier. We don't speak Swedish, so we would not know. We obviously could have missed that if there was some kind of thing in the subtitles that maybe we didn't catch, or if the subtitles are a little different. Definitely could have missed it. Also, like Eric said, apparently a lot of American movies will kind of bash you over the head with a certain theme. And maybe this was just supposed to be really subtle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have figured it out for myself, but then right after I finished the movie, I was talking to Eric about it last week, and he brought that up. And I kind of thought about it over the weekend, and I think the more I think about it, the more possible that is.
It definitely makes sense, and it makes the whole movie creepier, because, like, she is just this whole thing with Oscar, where when I watch the movie, I'm like, this is kind of sweet, kind of creepy, but kind of sweet. It's like kids falling in love. Sort of. But the reality was, like, she's been through this before, and she needs somebody young again to be with her, to take care of her, because her previous lover is dying. Is old. Well, he's not dying, but he's old. And she's noticing that he's becoming more and more useless. Like, he left the blood behind. He's slower. So, like, she needs a new, young, fresh thing to come in.
New, young thing.
And, like, she's, like, grooming him as this movie goes on. Especially with the, like, you need to hit back. And teaching him how to do that. And, yeah.
Wow.
So, it paints her in a completely different light.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, yes, she's a vampire that's already going to be, like, almost by default, somebody who takes advantage of people. But in this sense, it's, like, really creepy, especially with the age stuff in there.
Yeah, does make the whole viewing of the movie a lot more creepy.
Definitely.
For sure.
Because this movie, for me, it was... Okay, it's listed as a horror romance, which is fascinating. Because I don't know that I put it so much as horror. I guess it's horror just because there's blood and there's vampires in it. But I was never scared in this film.
Mm.
I was more just kind of creeped out.
Yes, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have some fun facts about the character Ely and the actress for Ely. I thought she was really cool, so I looked her up. So this is from Wikipedia. So I'm just going to read it for quote, but it's really fun. Because Ely is supposed to be an androgynous character in the film, director Tomas Alfredson decided to overdub Lee Anderson, the actress for Ely, her voice with a less feminine one. And he said, Lee Anderson is the actress for Ely. So he says, her voice is beautiful, but I thought it was too high in pitch. Ely's voice throughout the whole film was provided by Elif Salin, so thank you very much to her. And then in an interview with Dagan Snyder, I'm so sorry, Lee Anderson laughingly commented that it was actually nice to be dubbed because I think my voice sounds weird. So...
That is incredible, because I did not even notice the dubbing on there. Like, she did a great job of it.
No, I didn't notice either.
And part of it might have been because, you know, as somebody who doesn't know Swedish, I'm more paying attention to the subtitles, so I'm less likely to catch anything that was slightly off in the audio.
Absolutely.
But I think they did a great job of it.
Yeah, and I think the character Ely being androgynous in the film is kind of fun, and it makes sense why she says a couple of times, listen, Oscar, I'm not a girl. She maybe kind of meant, I'm a monster, but could have also meant I'm an androgynous person. So
yeah.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's neat.
And anything else?
I don't have anything else to add.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us in a Swedish snowbank this week for Let the Right One In. And reach out to us at adult@chromite.
You're going to get another record cut there.
Reach out to us at adult@chromaine.org with questions or comments, if you just want to say hi. And remember to check out Canopy if you want to experience the wild ride that is Let the Right One In.
Join us next week for our final Spooky Spectacular episode this season. And yeah, we really look forward to that. Shelby and me are going to be watching it in person together, so it's going to be a grand old time.
Going to be incredible. Can't wait to talk about it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.